Guilt and shame are like twin bullies. When they're not whispering lies into our ear, reinforcing our insecurities, they're shouting at us. And when we give in to these bullies, guilt and shame can turn us into their slaves. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Romans chapter 6. This passage says, "We are no longer slaves to sin. Sin is no longer our master, for we no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, we live under the freedom of God's grace." Chuck titled his message, "Since We've Died, Let's Really Live."
We don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to. When we meet up with temptation, we want it. We like it. We yield to it. The old nature says, "I like that, do that." But you don't have to. That's the message of grace. The preamble for all of this is where we were last week in the last part of Romans chapter 5, where we read of triumphing over sin and death through one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. We went over this, remember? But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. And look at the next. And new life for everyone. I don't have to keep living like a slave to sin. I now can know victory over it. In fact, he says, shall we keep on living like we've been living, where it's sin, 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 so that God can show us more of this grace, grace, grace? May it never be. Of course not, this reads. What a ghastly thought. Satan doesn't want you to know you're free, that you don't have to be afraid of him. He's a doomed, fallen angel who's living every day of his existence closer to hell, for which that place was prepared, him and his demonic hosts. That's why there is a hell. He just wants you to accompany him there. He wants to keep you in darkness. But you've chosen to come to Christ, so you're a believer. But what you've not known is that you've died to the authority of the enemy that you once walked hand in hand with. You're dead to sin's power. When you came to Christ, you were positionally dipped into his life, and your identity was changed to be like Christ. Do you know that? That's one of the wonderful things that happened at salvation. Positionally, you were empowered with the same power with which Christ walked when he was on this earth. And he says to you, you're now free. I'm free. You're with me. Follow me. And we'll walk together through this life. Keep reading. We joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by that identity, that change of identity. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Are you living a new life? Or are you still living embattled with sin, preoccupied with sin? You don't have to sin. You don't have to be under the authority of the enemy, Satan, because in fact you're identified with Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. How magnificent is that? We have a resurrected life at work within us. The difference between him and us is he was without sin. He had no sin nature. We do. So there's a battle that goes on, which is why the Spirit of God has been given to us to empower us when we are weak. We come to the temptation, we're weakened by it. The Spirit of God empowers us and we're able to say no to that temptation. Now, I want you to get your pen handy. I want you to mark three words. Verse 6, circle the word K-N-O-W. We know. There's something we have to know in order to live like I've just described. Drop down to verse 11. So you also should consider. Circle that word. Consider. First, we have to know a couple of things. And then knowing those things, we must reckon them as reality. And that's what consider will help us do. We'll get to that next time. Look at verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, here's the third word. Circle that one. My Bible reads, give yourself completely. Yours may read, present yourselves to God. So you've circled know, consider, and give, or present. These truths that you must know are right here before us. Look at this, verse 6. We know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. That's written to believers. That's not written to people in heaven. This would be believers on this earth who have trusted in Christ and now are becoming aware of, they're knowing this positional truth that I am identified with Christ and therefore sin is not my authority. He even explains that. For when we died with Christ, remember that comment I made earlier, that position? We died with Christ. We were set free from the power of sin. Not the presence. Don't misread this. One of you wrote me and said, I don't know why you're teaching that we live sinless lives. I'm not teaching that. Listen to what I'm saying. We're freed from the power of sin over us. We're not freed from sin. We will always have this old nature until we die. When we die, it's removed from us and we move in a glorified state without a sin nature into heaven to be with our Savior. But on this earth, we have died to Christ, though we still have a sin nature within us. We're sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. We will never die again, meaning we will live on and on and on. This soul of ours will never perish. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, he repeats, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider that a truth. So what are the two things we have to remember and know? In fact, I tell myself these things rather regularly. I have been freed from sin's power. Second, I have been given a brand new way of life. A brand new way of life. When an argument breaks out, I don't have to get my way. In my new way of life, I can let the argument fall on deaf ears. I don't have to participate. I don't have to win. I don't have to be first. I don't have to take charge. I love it that I can say to every one of you, you don't answer to me. I remember a young man didn't understand that, and he still smoked. And he felt guilty when he smoked, especially when I showed up. He was coming out of a hospital, and he had been visiting a friend. I was going to go to the hospital and visit another person. I happened to see him. He saw me coming, and right about then, he had a mouthful of smoke. And he wasn't sure what to do or what to do with the cigarette, and so he put it under his coat like this, and he held his cigarette there, and he blew out as much as he could. And he said, oh, hi, Pastor, how are you? I said, fine. I decided to engage him in a lengthy conversation. So before long, he looked like a chimney. He had smoke coming out of the collar and all that. I said, why don't you go ahead and finish your cigarette? He said, cigarette? Cigarette. I said, yeah, the one you're burning your wrist with right there. He said, oh. You know what his problem? He thinks he answers to me. I'm not going to turn him in. I'm not the Gestapo. He doesn't owe me any answer. I can't help him if he gets sick. Or if he's healthy, I can't pay his vacation. I'm not in charge of his life. I can't tell him what car to buy or what woman to marry if he plans to marry. I'm not in charge of him. But people live their lives thinking the one who preaches is in charge of them. Please, don't lay that on me. I can't handle it. There was a period of time where I thought I was, and I thought I'd go crazy trying to get everybody in line. You know, when I leave this place, you're on your own, baby. You're on your own. I don't worry about you. And if I see you in a restaurant or at a place of business or on the street, I'll speak to you, but you don't have to start confessing anything to me. I can't do anything about your sin. I'm busy taking care of my stuff. And if you've done something wrong, you don't have to tell me. You're not accountable to me, unless we're in a group where we're mutually accountable to each other as a group of men, maybe. But please, relax. You're free. Let me close with an illustration I don't think you'll ever forget. Happened to me at an airport. But before I get there, back years ago, I joined the Marine Corps, and I put on the uniform, and I wore it with a great deal of gratitude for being able to serve my country. And the training was arduous. It was tough. In fact, I met the meanest guy I'd ever known in my life. He was called, there's a fellow Marine laughing over there. He was called my drill instructor. Drill instructors tell you every move to make. They tell you what to wear. They tell you what to eat, when to eat. They tell you where you're going to sleep, if they will let you sleep. They will tell you when to get up. They will tell you when you're able to relieve yourself. They seem to know your system better than you do, so they tell you that. They teach you to say, sir, 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 yes, sir, sir. Every sentence begins with sir and ends with sir, and you do that as a habit. You dream of doing that. You get up in the morning, you make your rack in about 10 or 12, 15 seconds, and then you stand inspection because the drill instructor is there. So he is obviously in charge of your life. You don't go where you want to go. You don't ever say to him, I think I'll just take a stroll. They have a way of not understanding that. And you may say to him one evening, I think I'm just going to stay up a little later tonight. And it's the last thing you're going to remember for a while, because he's going to do some things that are going to help you remember you're not on your own. He's in charge. He is your constant authority. And then after my term of duty ended, and I'd been sent to where I didn't want to go, but God had plans and all of that, after I had all those years answered to the one who was an authority, I got an honorable discharge. And I no longer would wear the uniform. I no longer answered to a drill instructor. And this brings us to the San Diego airport, where I am at this particular time. And I look over, guess what I saw? I saw a drill instructor. He looked just the same as the tech sergeant that was my drill instructor. The old gunnery sergeant sounded the same. Get off that plane. Get over and get in line. Stand there. You have a straight line, you idiot. Get over here. Stand up straight. What's the matter? You with all the hair. Come here. Come here. And it went on and on. I'm standing on the sideline watching this, just smiling, just enjoying it. And he finally gets them all of, all you idiots, get on the bus. They had no idea what was ahead of them. I knew I'd been there, but they got on the bus, and he turned and looked at me and shook his head. I smiled and said, you getting all those running nose recruits in line, huh, Gunny? He said, yes, sir, doing my best. He said, sir. He said, sir. So I thought I'd talk to him a while, and I did. I was so relaxed. He never once said, "You get on the bus." If he had, I'd have said, "Hang it on your beak, buddy." And I'd have walked away. Why? Because he's not my authority. I don't answer to him. I did it one time, but no longer. I'm free of that authority. I can, in fact, look out back on it with a little bit of humor, remembering when. Do you realize, my Christian friend, you don't have to live under the domination of some person? I don't care how loud they may get, or intimidating they may sound, or what their title may be, or how many letters are after their name. It doesn't make any difference. They got to put their pants on like you do, one leg at a time. They are not in charge of you. So stop yielding to them. Stop trying to please every person you see as some kind of authority figure. You don't answer to them. You have one great Savior, and let me tell you, you answer to Him. And He will never lead you astray. He will never abuse you. He will never direct you into an area that will be hurtful, dangerous, that is on purpose to cause you harm. He doesn't do that. That's cruel. He loves you. He's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. I got some tough news this past week that a long-time colleague of mine in ministry has just been diagnosed with a very serious, extreme case of cancer. And he sent me a message in an email. And I just cried. I read it over and over, and I read it to Cynthia. You know what was beautiful about all of this? I have a Savior who, as it were, put His arm around me. And he said to me in so many ways, "I understand. I understand, Chuck. It's okay. I'm going to take care of him just like I'm taking care of you. And I'm touched by the feeling of your grief. I understand your tears." I thought I'd pretty well gotten past it. Then we visited our younger daughter yesterday, and we were sitting there at a kitchen table having a little Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I finished the meal, and I looked at her, and we talked about this, and I started to cry again. Cynthia moved over, and Colleen moved over, and I was kind of sandwiched between two great ladies. But the best part is the Savior, who didn't meet me that night at bedtime and say, "I'm ashamed of the way you lost control today." Because He doesn't shame His followers. People shame people. God doesn't shame us. Shame comes from the pit. I will never hear from Him saying, "You really disappointed me." That's a shameful statement. You know what He said when I got ready to go to bed? Still fighting the tears. He said to me, "Sleep well, son. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I love you. And I care." That's grace. That's the kind of thing you and I need every day of our lives. You'll never get it from the devil. You will never get it from sin. You will probably never get it from most other Christians. We can be the most shame-based people on earth. I regret that's true, but it is. May we become an example of the opposite. May we understand each other and have room for each other and accept each other and realize that we're not all alike, and learn to accept such a way that they feel a part of our family. Let's live like that. When we do, they'll say, I want to walk with you. I want to follow that kind of Savior, because he's the one who gave us the script. Here's the script, and it'll set you free. Please bow with me. This may be new information for some of you, and I understand. I don't chide you for that. You just haven't been taught that message of grace. And I don't speak against your parents. I just say they didn't know either. They just didn't know. But it's time that we live beyond the rules and regulations of the law. It's time to have our hearts broken when they break. It's time to be vulnerable when we're in need. It's time to say help when we can't make it on our own. It's time to look at one another and say, I want you to know, I love you just like you are. You don't have to get dressed up or cleaned up or shape up. You're my brother or you're my sister, and I'm in your corner. When you live like that, I'll tell you, sin does not have power over you, and you will reap benefits like you can't even imagine. Now, it's possible you've never trusted in the Savior. My goodness, all of this kind of grace talk is almost like mockery to you because you've never come to Christ. You've got to have him in your life. Trust him, take him, and he'll bring with him all of these wonderful benefits. It's all part of the package deal of coming to the Savior. Do that now. Father, we bow before you as needy men and women. We come to crossroads in life, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know how to handle things. Thank you for coming to our rescue and never shaming us. Thank you for pointing to the right way and never laughing at us, taking advantage of us, or abusing us. Thank you for your patience, your long suffering, your kindness, your gentleness, your compassion. It's new every day. I pray for those who've never met your son, Jesus, that you'll win them over. You'll show them what they're missing and then bring them to yourself. Do it in your time, Lord, and keep us from being offensive in the process so that they're free to make that decision. And when they do, reveal to them the joy of this new life, which is ours to claim. Now release us, Father, to a week that allows us to live in freedom, no longer afraid of our enemy, no longer disturbed over some temptation that may come. Remind us of the empowerment that's ours, and may we walk in it and claim it. By your grace, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, in whose name we pray, everyone said, Amen.
What a relief to hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Sin is no longer our master. Instead, we live under the freedom of God's grace. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of author and pastor Chuck Swindoll. The message you heard today is just one portion of the larger 7-part series called Living by Grace. It's brand new, and there's much more teaching ahead. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As we embark on this journey together, I want to remind you that Chuck wrote a commentary on Paul's letter to the Romans, and it's a resource that belongs in your personal collection. Chuck's commentary helps you understand the context of Paul's letter, and he explains the implications for our times as well. To purchase Swindoll's Living Insights commentary on Romans, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. But that's not all. Did you realize that Insight for Living has a free devotional available by email every single day? Sign up to automatically receive this free devotional thought from Chuck to fill your mind with biblical wisdom and empower your walk with God. There's a fresh thought for every day. To subscribe to Chuck's daily devotional emails, go to insight.org. And then bear in mind, it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide these daily visits with Chuck and the many resources designed to strengthen your walk with God. If it's been a while since you've sent Insight for Living a gift, or maybe you've never reached out, let today be the day. By giving, you'll become a channel of blessing to someone who's never understood the amazing grace of God. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give a donation online at insight.org. Are you ready to walk in the grace of God? I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll describes your next steps on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Since We've Died, Let's Really Live, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.